Okay, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, today is Shabbat Sechor. It's the Shabbat prior to the Feast of Purim. And it's for us to remember to forget. I know it sounds like kind of like an oxymoron. You know, you're going to remember to forget. Okay. This is the Shabbat that precedes the holiday of Purim called Shabbat Sechor, the Shabbat of Remembrance. The Maftor reading is Deuteronomy 25, 17 to 19, so let's go there, in which describes the attack by the ancient tribe of Amalek when Israel left Egypt. So read Deuteronomy 25, 17 to 19, hallelujah, fulfill that mitzvot, hallelujah. Remember what Amalek did to you along the way when you came out from Egypt, how he met you along the way and attacked among you all the stragglers at your rear when you were faint and weary, and he did not fear Yahweh. Therefore it shall come about when Yahweh your Elohim has given you rest from all your surrounding enemies in the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you as an inheritance to possess, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven, and you must not forget. To fulfill this commandment, the sages prescribed the public reading of this passage on the Shabbat, which precedes Purim, so that the wiping out of Amalek might be connected with the wiping out of Haman, the Agite, the descendant of Amalek. So you guys had a chance. The wiping out of Haman. Whoa. All right. I was thinking, I wonder who's gonna remember that. Yeah, I heard your hiss. Hallelujah. I just want to read just a little bit from this article. Actually, it's from Hebrews for Christians. It is said that Amalek's great sin was that he taught the nations to disregard the Lord and not fear his name. Thus, Nechama Leibovitz writes, after the Exodus, mankind as a whole might have taken one great step further and acknowledged the sovereignty of the God of justice and truth. But then along came Amalek, and unrestrained by the dread and awe that kept all the nations of the world in check, showed the way for the others. What was there to fear? That a people had gone forth from the land of Egypt? Now they were wandering in the wilderness, weary and struggling. Why should they not be attacked? This was the way of the world. The world returned to its former rut. Amalek may have been a grandson of Esau and chief of an Edomite tribe, though he was described as first among the nations, perhaps predating the time of Abraham. To this day, the Sopharim or scribes blot out the name Amalek to test their quill before writing a Torah scroll, and the Amalekites are regarded as perpetual enemies of Israel. Haman, Hitler, and other anti-Jewish people are often referred to as Amalekites in Jewish tradition. It is said that Amalek's great sin was that he taught the nations to disregard Yahweh and not fear his name. We see that same spirit still at work in the earth today, because that's the nature of HaSatan. Just as we are commanded to remember the Shabbat in Exodus or Shemot 20 verse 8, and remember the day which we were set free from Egypt in Shemot 13:3. When we celebrate the Passover, Pesach, remember what Yahweh did to Miriam in Devarim 24:9. We are also to remember what Amalek did to Israel, and that we are to blot out the remembrance of Amalek under the heaven. That word blot out is maha. It's a verb meaning to wipe and or to wipe out. This term is often connected with divine judgment. Probably comes from the idea of erasing a scroll by washing or sponging off the ink rather than blotting or making it illegible. Names from Sefer HaHayim, the Book of Life, are therefore said to be erased or blotted out. Go to Psalm 69:29. Hallelujah. Is that the one I wanted? Psalm 69:21. That doesn't look right. Ah, 28. May they be blotted out of the book of life, and may they not be recorded with the righteous. You know, there's nothing worse you can pray for somebody that it would be that their name would be blotted out of the book of life. Because once it's blotted out, there's no writing it back in. Go to Revelation 20:15. I've heard it said, I don't know if it was a rabbinical teaching or what, that everybody that's born, their name is in the book of life. But when they come to the point where they are at the age of accountability, and if they do not accept Messiah before they die, their name is then blotted out. The verb is used elsewhere. Oh, I'm sorry, let's go to Revelation 20:15. I'm just, praise God, our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. If anyone's name who was not found written in the Book of Life, he is thrown into the lake of fire. Scary thing. You know, when people are going to be standing before God thinking that, you know, all the years of rejecting his word and rejecting him, that their good works are going to convince him to let him in. He's going to open the book. And can you imagine how huge this book is? Mm-hmm. With the name from every name from the time of Adam. And only those whose names are in the book of life. Because he's going to look. Mm-hmm. And if your name isn't there, you're out the door. That's a scary thing. That's why it's so important for us to continue to proclaim the word of Yahweh to the lost. And again, that's why we're teaching on deliverance and that, you know, and getting set free so we can go forward and do what God's called us to do. The verb is used elsewhere in Scripture to mean wiping the mouth clean. That's in Proverbs 30:20. Wiping away tears. Let's go to Isaiah 25:8. Hallelujah. Praise you, Yahweh. Hallelujah. Thank you for your anointing, Father. Hallelujah. I thank you that you're giving us ears to hear and hearts to receive. He will swallow up death for all time, and Yahweh will wipe tears from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for Yahweh has spoken. Hallelujah. So he's going to wipe all those tears, just wipe it away from our eyes. All that sorrow, death will be no more. Hallelujah. Again, it talks about wiping out memories, and we see that in Exodus 17:14, Deuteronomy 25:19. Wiping out sins, Isaiah 43:25. We'll just go there real quick. We've got a lot of scriptures I want to go through. And you have the notes. So you can, this is just different passages of scripture where this particular word, mafta, is used in scriptures. 43:25. I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Amen. Hallelujah. Shabbat Sakkor. It should be obvious that Amalek denotes more than a particular tribe that attacked the children of Israel, but rather represents the collective children of darkness and servants of evil around the world. You know, and I was, because I was praying, I wasn't sure, you know, what to go on to, and I know the theme has been spiritual warfare. And as I was studying this, I mean, this passage and everything about it fits in perfectly regarding spiritual warfare, because that's what we are in. We are in spiritual warfare with the spirit of Amalek. The name Amalek begins with the letter Ayin, symbolizing the I, and equals 240 in Gematria, the same value for Safek, the Hebrew word for doubt. Amalek therefore suggests the eye of doubt, or even the severed eye. Amalek therefore represents spiritual blindness as it acts in the world. Wiping out Amalek then is a call to spiritual warfare. What I want you to do now, take out, I'm going to read through these scriptures first, but go find that chart that I passed out to you, because we're going to look at this chart. I'm going to put it up here too so you can see it, but probably be easier to read it up close. Hallelujah. I'm going to read some scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:4. You know, and if you think that, okay, you're just going to have spiritual warfare just for a little bit and then you'll have rest until it's like, we are in continual spiritual warfare until Yeshua returns or it's our time to go to be with Him. 10:4. Let's begin with verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of Yahweh, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Messiah. So again, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're of the Spirit. Go to Ephesians 6:12. We need this teaching so bad. Hallelujah. I believe that's why, you know, and as I was praying, you know, for this, it's like that is why it's, because a lot of believers, especially in the Messianic movement, really don't know who they are in Messiah. They don't know spiritual warfare. So what happens is that, you know, if anything, there should be congregations popping up all over the place. But what happens, they pop up, and what happens, demonic spirits come in, causing strife, breaking apart congregations where they're lucky if they make it past a year and they're destroyed. That should not be. Why is it happening? Because we are in the flesh and not warring in the Spirit. You know, and for again, years as we were praying, I'm thinking, you know, Father, I don't understand what's going on here. You know, and then He started revealing things to me about the spiritual warfare and that people, one of the things, that people are coming in that need deliverance. What happens? The enemy comes in and those spirits within them, they don't want to be here. And they run and they leave. You know, and at first, see, I was looking at things in the flesh. I'm like, you know, like people.
What are we doing wrong?
And not only that, well, why are they getting offended? And why? I don't understand. People say when they walk in, they feel the anointing, they feel the presence of God, yet they don't come back. Well, they don't come back because those spirits in them that they need to be delivered from don't want to be cast out.
Right.
So they flee. And in their mind, they use a spirit of offense. Okay, over things that we don't even know. I mean, maybe sometimes we do offend people, you know, but, you know, most of the time we try very hard, you know, we try very hard not to, you know, and again, I've just been praying and praying, and, you know, and it's so easy to get a spirit of religion and forget the power and anointing and to walk in that power in the Brit Hadashah that Yahweh gave us. But what happens, we go back. And we get into the flesh and we get a religious spirit, you know, and we open ourselves to the enemy.
More pride.
But you know what? That's going to stop now because the key to we need to be sensitive to the Ruach HaKodesh. We need to be sensitive to when people come in to listen, you know, show me and be bold and minister to these people. You know, that God will show us, that we'll look past the flesh and see what that need is in the Spirit. And then ask them, do you want to get set free? Because they have to want to as well. You know, God doesn't go against anybody's will. I mean, if they want to, they can keep those demons with them until until they die. You know, but who wants them? I don't want them, you know. I don't want them harassing my life. I want them out of my life. I don't want anything to hinder us from going forward in Him. You know what? Because He's a liar. You know what? Yeshua paid the price for our deliverance. You know, and deliverance is not a nasty word. You know, people hear the word deliverance and they get all freaked out. You know? Why? Because the enemy doesn't want people to know that they can be set free. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news, to deliver the captives. Yeshua paid the price so we could be delivered, so we could be healed, so we could be set free. And again, I don't want to play church. I want to do what Yeshua did. You know, I says, and every single one of us need to do that. I want to see a time where we have, when we're so filled with people, that there's people trained and they're sitting in different places. And if somebody comes in, that you're going to be able to hear the voice of the Ruach HaKodesh and be able to turn and minister to that person by the power of the Spirit. We need the gifts of the Spirit. You know, they just weren't written there to have some pretty words. They were there. These are our weapons. These are our spiritual weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. And as long as we let the enemy push us around, and believe me, I believe that's the reason the Messianic movement has not getting past, hasn't been making the impression or the impact that they can, because they're not walking in the power of the Spirit. And I know some people listening to me are probably going to be mad, but you know what? I'm going to speak the truth, because we're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
That is why we are not making an impact. Yes, hallelujah. Ephesians 6. And in that word that I was sharing with you too, and God had spoken that to Rabbi Scott a while ago too, and this was like in 1999. God said that there was going to be large ministries that he was going to be pulling down and shutting down because he didn't like what was going on in them. And he says this is an ongoing process. It happens with every move of God. But you know what? The closer we get to God, the less God is going to put up with garbage and falsehood and heresies and people robbing from his people. Using people, you know, to make money. It's like God will, you know, if it's your motive to serve God to so you can be rich, you know what? You might as well just go pack it up. Amen. It's not going to happen. Hallelujah. You know, I've been, you know, teaching the word for over 35 years. The minute, you know, I mean, God's had his hand on my life from when I was a child. And believe me, there was a lot of fights along the way before I finally came to the age where, you know what, he says, nobody's going to stop me. Okay, I'm of legal age now. I'm making a decision. I'm going forward with God.
What did you say?
So I've been teaching this word for 35 years. And I know one thing, we have to be a people of prayer. Because nothing is going to happen. You know, your own smarts and your own ability is only going to go so far. Your own charisma is only going to go so far. We need to walk in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh and his anointing. So he gets the glory and not us. It's for his kingdom and his glory. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in Yahweh and in the strength of his might. That's where our strength is. It is in him and in his strength. Put on the full armor of Yahweh that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of HaSatan. Again, in the Greek, that word put is in the form of a command. It's to put it on and not take it off. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Again, people are not your problem, but HaSatan uses people. And the only way, again, it's like people will come in and he knows how to push your button. And we have to go past it and realize the spirit behind it. But against the rulers, against the powers, and against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And we're going to go in a little more in depth on spiritual warfare and demonic forces. Believe me, demonic forces are real. Just because you can't see them, they are operating. Because behind every evil kingdom, there's a demonic spirit. There's a demonic spirit, and one of the biggest strongholds of a demonic spirit is Islam. Okay? Every false religion has a demonic spirit over it. It's just Satan will use anything he can to get worship. You know? Therefore, take up the full armor of Yahweh that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. So God says, we're going to have to resist. There's a fight, and to resist is not passive. To resist is aggressive. Why? So we can stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having your loins girded with truth. What's the truth? His word. His Torah is the truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of shalom. In addition, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. That shield of faith in the Hebraic mindset is that of trust. Trusting Yahweh, that He is the one that is with you. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh. And with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. 2 Timothy 3, 1-8. But realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. Now, this was written almost 2,000 years ago. If difficult, you know, and Paul is warning us that in the last days, I mean, the last days began when Yeshua rose from the dead. Okay? The closer we get, the more difficult times are going to come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, rivalers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather lovers of Yahweh, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these. So again, they're going to look, they're going to have a form of godliness, but they're going to be full of demons. For among them are those who enter the households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Jude 1:3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. Again, there's a time, turning the other cheek refers to personal offenses for the sake of righteousness. It does not mean turning a blind eye to blatant sin. Okay, we need to stand up against blatant sin and social injustice and stand up for the truth. Okay, now let's look at that. We're going to look at this chart here, and I found this online, but I thought, wow, this is really good. We want to give credit to credit's due, and he gives permission to print out these charts. It's by Robert S. Sims, served in the U.S. Army as an infantry sergeant for 20 years. So if anybody knows about warfare tactics, it's a sergeant who was a sergeant's job. It's his job to train men for battle. His primary duty was to train small teams in preparation for combat. Now, serving the Lord as an evangelist, he is still teaching soldiers, good soldiers, for Yeshua HaMashiach. So if we look towards the bottom here, let's look at some of these insights. Again, that spirit of Amalek is alive and well in the earth, and that spirit of Amalek wants to destroy God's people. That's the only thing, that's his only agenda, is to destroy God's people. So what do we need to do? We need to know our enemy. His strengths and weaknesses in your area. We need to know the enemy in this area that God has placed us in, Chicago. His mission objectives. What would be the specific result if he won the war? Worst case scenario. His weapons, their effects, how and when they are employed. Are his soldiers well trained with them? Believe me, Satan's soldiers are well trained. The spirit of witchcraft is alive and well in this city. His tactics. How are his forces normally arrayed? How does he fight each battle? Again, now he's looking at this as a military man. But in the same way, we are military men and women of Yeshua. And we need to see, again, we've been listening to some teachings by Derek Prince. And I praise God that, you know, his stuff is still on tape and video so we could listen. Because you know what? He is, if you want to learn about spiritual warfare, learn it from people who know what they're talking about. And Derek Prince is one of them. And again, Satan is very organized. Okay? There is organization in Satan's army. There are hierarchies, and there are, you know, his little drones, let's call his little demons that are around. What's the problem with the messianic movement today? We are not organized. There is chaos. And you know what? Where there's chaos, the enemy is in charge, not God. God is the God of order. And what has happened? The enemy has come in with pride and arrogance, and people say, we don't need a leader. We don't need to submit to somebody. And as long as we are in disorder, we're going to lose the battle. Can you imagine a battalion of soldiers who are going to go fight to protect this country? And their attitude was, we don't have to listen to the leader. We don't have to listen to the sergeant. You know, we're macho men. You know, we know how to fight. And they go out in total disarray. You know what? They're going to be obliterated. When a soldier goes in the service, they are trained how to fight the enemy. They are trained to respect those that are above them. So they watch out for one another. They watch out for each other's back in battle. What do we do as believers? We don't watch for each other's back. We take a knife and we stab each other in the back. I mean, I'm sorry, let's be truthful. You know, we're all guilty of that. How do we watch each other's back? We should be praying and interceding for one another. Again, you see order in God's angelic. There's an order in God's angels as well. There are archangels, which are the highest angels, and then there are angels underneath them. There is divine order in everything God does. We need to get ourselves in divine order. Battlefield awareness. You cannot see all the forces on the battlefield. You can see the effects of their presence and recent activities. This war does not have a ceasefire or even a lull in the battle. Even if you are not directly under enemy fire at the moment, you are still on the battlefield. You know, a lot of times it's like we have our times of battle and then we have a lull. The most dangerous time to let your defenses down is during that lull, that time of the lull. When you think, oh man, okay, you know, we won the battle, everything's fine, we're just going to go on. Because you know what? The enemy never stops. He never stops. You are a threat to the enemy. You are a threat to HaSatan. Even more so because you are walking in the Torah. You are keeping his feasts. You are keeping the Shabbat. You are filled with the Spirit. Yeshua is your Lord. You know what a threat you are to the enemy? That is why he doesn't want to see this movement go forward. That is why he is causing pettiness and works of the flesh is going to keep us from going forward. He will attack you when necessary. If you attack him, he will attempt to distract you from his main effort, misdirect you into a useless effort, then diminish and isolate you. What did I say? Isolation was one of the tactics of the enemy. And I see so many people today are isolated with the internet. They think because they can't find the perfect congregation, they figure, well, I'll just have it online. What he's done, he's isolated you. Sitting in front of a computer is isolation. It gives you a false sense that you're being a part of something. It has its place, but it does not take the place of being in a community. And that's what he's trying to do. Isolate believers. Because when you're isolated, you are more susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. If you don't resist him, he will bypass you, separate you from friendly forces, your family, your local congregation, your community, and harass your supply lines, your prayer life, and your faith. Remember, we fight as a team. Report all enemy contact to higher and to the soldiers on your flanks. Know the commander's intent. Who's our commander? Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the commander. He is the head. What should the battlefield look like when the war is over? What is his plan to accomplish it? What is your role? It's all laid out in the Word of God. Employ your team according to its capabilities and within the commander's intent. Know your personal strengths and weaknesses, your weapons capabilities and their employment, your team's capabilities and their readiness for battle. Are they conditioned, trained, rested, fed, and properly equipped? Are they focused on the mission? Use and synchronize all your available firepower, your team's adjacent units, and hire commanders. Communicate, coordinate, execute. Don't get tunnel vision. Be aware of the entire battlefield. Stay alert. Fight on the ground you choose, not the enemy's choice. Keep moving. Maintain communication with the higher or Yahweh by prayer. Hallelujah. So as we look at this chart, we see divided on the left is HaSatan, our enemy, working amidst in the world. And on the right, we have Yahweh, our Father, who works through his called out ones, his ecclesia, his body. As we look to the left, the dark forces of this world. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to not know that there's evil in this world. Okay, I mean, all you have to do is turn on the news and hear of kids, killing one another. And, I mean, it should be breaking our heart, the things that are going on in the world. So what is the character of darkness? Its character is it's dark, fallen light, it's devouring, it's deceptive, it's divisive. Their mission, to dethrone Yahweh. Their mission, to destroy all of creation. What did Yeshua say? Satan only comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. So if you see destruction in your life, you know that it's HaSatan at work. It's not God. He's come to deceive the world and, if possible, the elect. We see a lot of deception going on in a lot of churches and even in the Messianic movement. Because he is, we need to know our enemy. He is not stupid. We have authority over him only because of the name of Yeshua. It is his name. If we try to battle in the flesh, we are no match for him. Our power is in the power, the name of Yeshua and his spirit. What are his other tactics? To divide the world. To divide the world, and especially Yahweh's called out ones. He uses the word church, but we know it's ecclesia, God's called out ones, to divide. He always wants to try to divide. Why? Because there's power in unity. Their weapons, darkness, destruction, deception, and division. Accusation, slander. What the Hebrew, Jewish teaching is called Lashon Hara, the evil tongue. The visible battle on the earth. We see the physical effects of HaSatan's work. Rebellion, anarchy, violence, and wickedness. Decay, disease, and death. Oppression, excess, delusion. Self-interest, prejudice, divorce. Again, isolation. Spiritual results. Blindness, pride, and faithlessness. He knows, his tactics haven't changed. They're the same. Despair, apathy, eternal death. Spirit of apathy, it's like, oh, well, what's the use? Let somebody else do it. It's still too bad they're going through the battle. Let somebody else fight the war. Bondage, emptiness, folly. He wants to keep God's people in bondage, fear, condemnation, and severance. The word says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua. But he loves to condemn God's people. We need to know his voice and his tactics. Now let's look at Yahweh, our Father. Let's start from the right. We have Yahweh living in us. Yeshua HaMashiach, life himself is in us. His, and how does he operate? Through the light, the life, the truth, and the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and his light is within us. We've got the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. Now think of that. So anytime we say, oh, Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach, the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, is in us. Okay? He convicts to repentance. He is constantly, you know, searching our hearts and letting us, you know where we need to repent in our life to shut the door to the enemy. He seals and comforts. When we are truly followers of Messiah, we have been sealed in him. And those who are truly born again, I believe there is no way, even to the point of death, that you will ever deny Messiah. Those that have, I doubt if they were ever really born again. He comforts. He teaches, he guides, and he helps. Yeshua, again, is the way, the truth, and the life. Our mission is illumination, to bring the light, the truth to God's people. Restoration and preservation. Revelation and reconciliation. Okay, I'm not talking about this garbage that's going on with Chrislam, you know, where you've got this, you know, Rick Warren, you know, getting together with the Muslims, say, we worship the same God. No, we don't. Because if we did, the word would be exactly the same. It is not the same God. That's deception of the enemy. Our weapons, light, public worship, good works, doing the works of Messiah, worshiping together. There is power in corporate worship. Salt, community influence, intercessory prayer. Our life should make people hungry and thirsty for what we have. Truth, preaching the word, the whole word, not just the Torah, not just the Brit Hadashah, but everything from Genesis to Revelation. It is all the word of Yahweh. Love, neighborly love, brotherly love, Christ-like love. Word of God says the love of Messiah has been shed abroad in our heart by the Ruach HaKodesh. Again, what are the results? Spiritual and eternal. If you are born again, he has given you sight, faith, humility, and trust, joy, hope, eternal life, grace, abundance, wisdom, respect, mercy, and communion and fellowship with him. The physical effects as Yahweh reigns are submission, order, peace, and godliness. As we submit to Yahweh, there is order and peace and godliness in our life. We'll see restoration, healing, and a renewed life. God is the one who wants to restore us. HaSatan wants to destroy. Yahweh is the healer. Every sickness and disease is demonic. Renewed life. I mean, and that, there's not one of us that can't look back and see, wow, what God has brought, that our life is different than what it was. He's renewed our life. Self-sacrifice, acceptance. We have a spiritual family and Messiah and community. Hallelujah. In the back are, freedom. That's right. Freedom, contentment, and discernment. Amen. Discernment. Hallelujah. We need that in these days. Praise God. I'm just going to read some more scriptures here. They're not on that sheet, but let me give you, just read a couple of them before we go on here. 1 Chronicles 5:20. They cried out to God in the battle. He heeded their prayer because they put their trust in him. In the midst of battle, when we cry out to him, he hears our prayer. Why? Because we trust him. Who's our example? Yeshua. Now it came to pass in those days, Luke 6:11-13, that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to Yahweh. Yeshua was always praying. Jeremiah 29:11-13, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When we search for him with all our heart, we will find him. He is there. Matthew 7, 7-11. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. 1 Peter 4:2 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of Yahweh and Messiah Yeshua for you. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Yahweh, and the peace or shalom of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Let me just get out of. I just want to get back to the PowerPoint here. Okay. Again, God is not asking us to have compassion on evil. That was the problem with Saul. He had compassion on the wrong person. It was because of this attitude of pseudo-compassion that the sages say Saul lost the position as king of Israel. Recall that Saul acted compassionately to Agag, king of Amalek, when God told them that they were totally to destroy Amalek, and did not kill him as he was instructed. He thought, well, he's a fellow king. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15. And because of his disobedience, Haman was birthed. Boo, Haman. The ancestor of King Agag was born and thus put the Jews in jeopardy of being wiped out. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15. Then Samuel said to Saul, Yahweh sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. So what happened was Amalek, the weaker Israelites were towards the back because they couldn't keep up. They were like the stragglers. What's what Amalek did? He attacked the weak, the women, the children, those that were weak. And that's the tactics of HaSatan. He attacks the weak. He attacks us when we're at our weakest. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him, but put to death both men and women, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Then Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, go depart, go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for you showed kindness to all the sons of Israel when they came up from Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. So Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as you go to Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he captured Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people and with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were not willing to destroy them utterly. But everything despised and worthless they utterly destroyed. So again, right there, he compromised with God. God told them to utterly destroy everything. And they, you know, greed got in. Well, no, you know, we'll take some of the best for us. And they spared the king. So Samuel the prophet came, and he says, you know, we think we can get away with stuff, but you know what? That's what prophets are for. They reveal the truth. Then the word of Yahweh came to Samuel, saying, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned his back from following me and has not carried out my commands. And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul and was told Samuel, saying, Saul, come to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself, then turned and proceeded on down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of Yahweh. I mean, bald-faced lying to the prophet. You know, I mean, you don't lie to a prophet of God and think you're going to get away with it. But Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to Yahweh, your Elohim. Yeah, right. But the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, wait, and let me tell you what Yahweh said to me last night. And he said to him, speak. And Samuel said, isn't that true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel, and Yahweh anointed you king over Israel. And Yahweh sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Why then did you not obey the voice of Yahweh, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh? Then Saul said to Samuel, I did obey the voice of Yahweh and went on the mission in which Yahweh sent me, and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the choicest of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. And Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and other scriptures say witchcraft. And insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected you from being king. So what happened is Samuel himself ended up killing King Agag himself, Agag. But little did be known to them is that he had a wife, a queen who was pregnant and escaped. And it was through her that the seed of the Amalekites kept on perpetuating and are a thorn in the flesh of Israel ever since then. And Haman was a descendant of the Amalekites. So again, it was a, you know, if he had obeyed him, there never would have been a necessity of a Purim. But because of disobedience, it affected generations and generations to come. The spirit of Amalek is found in anti-Semitism, anti-Israel, the desire to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, anti-Torah, anti-Messiah, cults, and false religions. Purim means to cast lots. They cast the lot before Haman to determine the day and the month until it fell in the 12th of the month, which is the month of Adar. So Haman cast lots to decide what day they were going to destroy the Jewish people. This is just a simple overview. We're going to, get more detail next week. But I'm just kind of laying out. The spirit of Haman is the Amalek spirit. The spirit of Hamas, the Amalek spirit. They're all descendant from the same spirit. The Persian dilemma has come full circle. In every generation, there are those who wanted to destroy the Jews. Even before Hitler, we have the Spanish Inquisition, where they tried to annihilate. That's where some of my ancestors came through, was through the Spanish Inquisition. Then came Hitler, again, trying to destroy, got that same spirit of Amalek. Right, the Romans. I mean, it's just every enemy you can think of. In every generation, again, you have Yasser Arafat, who I can't believe that people were stupid enough to give him a Nobel Peace Prize. But that's how perverted the mind of the world is. Try to destroy the Jews. Saddam Hussein, another one. Modern day, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. I can't pronounce his name, and I don't care. He's the Iranian dictator who supports Hamas. It's that same spirit. That's why Israel is so concerned, because if you look, Iran is it within, I mean, it would be nothing for them to shoot an atomic bomb over to Israel. They're don't believe the Holocaust happened. They believe that, you know, that the earth is flat and my nuclear program is peaceful. Yeah, right. Again, that same Amalekite spirit that wants to destroy God's people. And not just the Jewish people. You know, we think, oh, you know, it's just the Jewish people. The spirit of Amalek wants to destroy all of God's people. What do they say? First little Satan, Israel, then big Satan. The Christians, they call them people of the book. That's whether you're Jew or Christian. If you believe in the God of Israel, they want to destroy us. The attempt has now come full circle. Again, Haman the Agite. Boo. Amen. Hallelujah. But again, we need to, and on that sheet too, I made a little colorful. You've got one that's kind of yellow, and it looks kind of like the blood of Yeshua. I know it's kind of pinky, but if I did red, it would cover it up. But it's important for us to know who we are in Messiah. And if you want it laminated, I can laminate it for you, but I don't have time to do all of them. Again, read these scriptures. Mark them in the Bible. Know that you are complete in Yeshua, who is ahead of all principality and power. When you know who you are in Messiah, you're not going to fall for the lies of the enemy. Hallelujah. That you're free from the law of sin and death, not from God's teachings and instructions, from the law of sin and death. That you are made alive with Yeshua, and that you are far from oppression, and fear does not come near you. You are born of Yahweh, and the evil one does not touch you. You are holy and without blame before him in love. Get these scriptures in you. Know who you are in Messiah. I'm not going to read all through them. You could read all through them. And those that are listening to this on the internet, you can email me at DeborahEbrandt@comcast.net, and I'll email you the Who I Am in Yeshua scriptures. Again, 2 Corinthians 4:3-6 says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Messiah should shine upon them." Job 24:13-17, "There are those who rebel against the light. They do not know its way, nor abide in its path." Psalm 74:20, "The dark places of the earth are full of haunts of cruelty." Again, read through like these scriptures, you know, because it's so important to know that we are in a spiritual battle. And again, it's like, I know it's a spiritual battle here, because the enemy does not want to see us break through. Because why? Because we have the full truth. But we need to walk in the spirit of the Torah. You know, even the rabbi said, if you read what the rabbi says, this is that they try to judge according to the spirit of the Torah in every given situation. You know, but what happens? We come in, we get a religious spirit, and we start walking in the letter of the law instead of the spirit of the law. And we start, you know, condemning and criticizing everybody else instead of praying and interceding and walking in the power of the Ruach HaKodesh. That's why we are not making the impact we need to make. Okay, God knows who are His, whether they're in Messianic congregations or if they're still in the Christian churches. There's a separation going to come, and we need to, you know, those of you that have Messianic congregations, don't give up. Don't let the enemy run you out of town. You run him out of town. In the name of Yeshua, we're to make an impact. This, you know, we're talking. It's like, okay, we're great at criticizing people in the churches. But you know what? They're feeding the sick. They've got homeless shelters. They're sending out missionaries. They're doing. What are we doing as Messianics? We need to. What are we doing to impact the world? Are we making a difference? We need to make. If anybody should be making a difference, it should be us. Okay? We're bragging about. Again, I'm talking to myself. How much we know? What are we doing to make an impact in other people's lives? I want us here in the city of Chicago, this congregation, this ministry, to make an impact on people's lives. That's why we're having the conference. You know, not because, you know, I got, you know, we've got, you know, if you don't think it's hard believing God for $20,000, try it sometime. This has been the hardest time ever. But you know what? I just said, you know, God, you told us to do this, even though my flesh didn't want to. You know, because, you know, look at the economy. Look at, you know what? We're on God's economy. Yeah. We're not on the world's economy. You know, it's like we have to look. He is a miracle-working God, and God knows that there are people out there. He's already putting on people's hearts to start sending money towards the conference because we felt led to put it on a donation basis. You know, believe in God, that God's people are going to listen to the Ruach HaKodesh, and I believe they are. It doesn't take a whole lot of people. Amen. You know, you get 20 people, send 1,000 apiece. $20,000, it's met. You get 10 people sending 500 apiece, the budget's met. You get 30 people sending 250, the budget's met. You get 40 sending, my math isn't good. Anyway, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of people to meet that need. Amen. You know, and I believe He's stirring hearts now. I believe, you know, believe me, there's, you know, if we walk in the flesh, it's so easy to get discouraged if you look at the flesh. Yep. You know, I could look out here now and say, you know, where is everybody? Yep. You know, I know some people have made the decision not to come back. You know what? God will send 10 other people in their place. Amen. In the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Because we are going to speak the truth, and we're going to do spiritual battle. We're going to do spiritual battle and warfare over our brothers and sisters in Messiah that need to get delivered and set free. So why? So they can go forward and do what God's called them to do.
Hallelujah.
And we stop beating each other up. That's what God showed me. The bride of Messiah is black and blue and wounded right now. She needs to be healed and prepared. His soldiers, we are, you know, we are in an army. But as soldiers, we are not prepared. We need to get prepared. That's why this teaching is important. I love the Torah. I love studying the Torah. But you know, every man, you study the lives of the people in the Torah, and they were men and women of prayer. They were men and women that interceded and walked in obedience to God. Okay, the prophets, the Psalms, study their life. You know, we're our example, who we are to walk in the footsteps of, is Yeshua. He is our example. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father Yahweh, that you are giving us ears to hear and hearts to receive. Father, I pray that your body, Father, especially in the Messianic movement, Father, will come into divine order in the name of Yeshua. Father, I thank you, Father, that that we will stop wounding and attacking one another, Father, but we will pray and intercede for one another and go forward and find what our place is in the army of Yahweh and take our stand in the name of Yeshua. We will want to find out what our gifts are and operate and walk in those gifts and not try to walk in somebody else's gifts in the name of Yeshua. We are the body of Messiah, and I thank you that we walk in unity and the power of the Ruach HaKodesh right now. I come against that religious spirit in the name of Yeshua, in Yeshua's name. And I thank you, Father, that the spirit of love of Messiah, Father, has been shed broad in our heart by the Ruach HaKodesh, Father. Yes. I thank you, Father, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. And we pull down those strongholds now in the Messianic movement, that division between Messianic Jew, Messianic Ephraim, whatever you call by your name, in the name of Yeshua. It's time to stop now your silly fighting over the name of Yahweh, your arrogance, your pride in the name of Yeshua. We come against those spirits now in Yeshua's name. It is time to get into divine order. It is time to grow up in the spirit in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. The time is short. We give no place to the enemy in Yeshua's name. We give no place to division and fighting in the name of Yeshua. I thank you, Father, that we submit to one leader, and that is Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. Our Messiah who follows the word of Yahweh, our Elohim. I thank you for the Ruach HaKodesh who abides and lives within us and leads us and guides us into all your truth. I thank you, Father, for the power, the Ruach HaKodesh, the power, Father. You have called us to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You have called us to cast out demons and not put up with the lies and the prison of the enemy in the name of Yeshua. You have come to set the captives free. And I thank you that that starts in the household of Yahweh now in the name of Yeshua. I thank you, every person hearing this teaching, in the name of Yeshua, it is time to repent. It is time to get in line with the word of God. Repent of your carnality. Repent of your Lashon Hara and words against one another. Repent of your rebellion against the leadership that Yahweh is raising up in these last days. And get in divine order in Yeshua's name. For Yahweh loves you.